We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Talking Buffalo, featuring conversations with guests from around the world of sports, media, pop culture, and all things Buffalo, with your host, Patrick Moran.
All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Talking Buffalo, your weekday, and turning into also your weekend daily driver for Buffalo Sports Talk and More. My name is Patrick Moran. Thank you very much, as always, for checking us out, whether you're watching, whether you're listening, following, or subscribing. I appreciate you all very, very much. We usually, of course, do not do episodes Friday night at around midnight, but this is not a usual week. Night two of the NFL draft is now in the books, and we're going to put together a quick, and I do hopefully at least, anyway, mean quick episode, a reactionary episode. We're going to talk about all three of the Buffalo Bills night two picks. I want to thank everybody, because yesterday's round one reaction episode actually turned out to be the most downloaded episode ever in over 6 years of history of Talking Buffalo. So obviously, people are pretty locked in on this draft. I want to get into night two, but before that, real quick, I kind of want to start with a really quick story, and I want to do it because it taught me a lesson. I want to go all the way back to the 2006 Buffalo Bills draft. At the time, I was writing for a blog. It was part of the Fox Sports community. At that time, there was a big blogging community, and I was part of it covering the Buffalo Bills for that. And anyway, it was the 2006 NFL draft, and my assignment was to watch the draft, cover it from a Bills perspective, and assign grades. And I still remember it kind of like it was yesterday. The Bills took Dante Whitner, then they traded back up into the first round, and they took John McCargo. They took Ashton Yabuti in round three. They took a safety, Coe Simpson, in round four. Kyle Williams, kind of a throw-in, nobody at the time, irrelevant. He was a fifth-round pick out of LSU. And I remember at that time writing a review of that draft and saying that that might be the best draft in the entire history of the Buffalo Bills franchise. I graded it an A+. I said in the matter of 2 days or 2 or 3 days, the Buffalo Bills managed to completely revamp their defense, restore their defense, and in short order, they were going to become one of the more dominant defenses in the NFL. And again, I gave it an A+, which is obviously the highest grade that you can give anything, right? I guess the point is this. No one knows in that moment, you know, grades, etc., takes, reactionary takes, they're dumb. At the end of the day, they're kind of dumb, because these are prospects that, like, quite literally haven't played a down in the NFL yet. And we're judging what they may be before they even get out on the field. So anyway, that story going all the way back to 2006, kind of learned my lesson then. And I still slip up from time to time. But for the most part, I don't like to try, or at least I try. I don't want to get too high or I don't want to get too low based on, you know, one or two nights of the draft immediately in that moment. So I'm not going to give any night two grades or the first two, the first few days of this draft a grade, so to speak. But that said, you know, it's fine to have opinions, and I'm going to continue on this show to have many, especially when it comes to draft picks in the moments, my perspective. But I guess the general thing I'm saying right now, folks, is be careful. You know, you can sit here at the end of the on Saturday after the draft's over and say, oh my God, the Bills crush it. They address so many things. And you go back and you look at the draft 3 years from now, you'd be like, holy shit, this draft sucked. Or completely opposite. You could bash it. I hate Keon Coleman. I can't believe the Bills took him. They left a Donnie Mitchell on the board. You left Lambecock on the board. And 3 years from now, Keon Coleman's a top 15 receiver in the NFL. And Dwayne Carter is a beast playing alongside Ed Oliver. If he's even in Buffalo 3 years from now. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be careful not to judge it too much. But you can have your, you know, your opinions in the moment. And right now, with, you know, light one, the Bills did nothing. Literally, they traded out twice. The Bills kept all their picks, no trades on Friday night. Made all three of them. And in this moment, right now, as we speak, I'm kind of, I'm lukewarm on him. I'm okay. I don't hate Friday night for the Buffalo Bills. I don't really hate any of the picks. Two of them, Cole Bishop and Dwayne Carter, have actually been mocked in our Talking Buffalo mock drafts, our series of five of them, multiple times. So I'm very familiar with Cole Bishop, very familiar with Dwayne Carter. Difference being in our mock drafts, I think we had them going around later in each than in reality. Like, I think Bishop was a third, maybe even a fourth rounder in one of our mocks, where Dwayne Carter was pretty much available in the fourth. Although I do remember him being taken in some mocks in the late third as well. So he kind of went where he was projected. Got to be honest with you, though, there wasn't one mock draft where we took Keon Coleman. And the reason for that is quite simple. Didn't want him. Going into this draft, going right up until I heard his name, was not interested in the Bills taking Keon Coleman. In fact, on Friday night, when the Bills were on the clock and it said the pick is in, I got moments of anxiety, at least a little bit. Did not want to hear the name Keon Coleman. Aaron Williams came to the stage, and as those syllables came out, Keon, I was like, ugh. My first instinct, I really, really, really wanted Ladd McConkey. That's who I was hoping the Bills were going to take, or a Donnie Mitchell. But the Bills kick off night two and they take Keon Coleman. And look, before anything else here, I'll tell you this is what I love about the Keon Coleman pick. This is what I love right now about this draft right now as it pertains to the Buffalo Bills and what they did at wide receiver. I mean, look, they were always going to take a wide receiver in the first round, short of a player that they had incredibly high on their board. It just free fell to them into their laps. They were always going to take a wide receiver. So no matter how you feel about Keon Coleman, let me tell you what I love about the pick and what is undisputable right now. There are, as we go into day three, and as Brandon Bean, literally as I'm talking to you, I'm recording this live right now on the video side, Brandon Bean is holding court with some reporters at One Bills Drive. In this moment, there are zero what-ifs when it comes to the Buffalo Bills at the wide receiver position right now in this draft. There is no wondering if they wanted Xavier Worthy or Xavier Legette. There's no wondering. Because if they did, they would have drafted them last night. They would have drafted them on night one. If they wanted Xavier Worthy, he was there at pick 28. The Bills traded down, did not take Xavier Worthy. That tells you that they didn't want to draft him. If the Bills wanted to draft Xavier Legette, they would have drafted him, right? He was there, pick 32. The Buffalo Bills, to end the first round, on the clock. What did they do? Trade down. They traded down. They had Xavier Legette. They didn't want him. No what ifs, right? Going to night two, there is no wondering, did the Bills like Ladd McConkey better? Did the Bills like Adonai Mitchell better? Did the Bills like Jalen Polk better? Javon Baker, Wilson from Michigan, all those guys, any receiver, you pick it, it doesn't matter. Because on night two, the Buffalo Bills could have taken quite literally any of them. They could have taken any player at any position, and they took Keon Coleman. So there's no what ifs. You know, lots of times when you're sweating out picks, I know we've done this a couple years a row with the running backs. Remember Travis Etienne, is he going to fall to the Bills? A couple other running backs that have won in the first round over the past few years, because it's been all about the running backs. Taking a running back in the first round was a running joke for the last few years. Or some of these receivers, will they fall to you? You know, I remember last year, the Bills ended up taking the tight end, Kincaid. But I remember Addison, and Quentin Johnson, and Zay Flowers, hoping that they would fall and how things would play out. You wondered, you were left wondering, what would have happened if this guy would have been here? Would the Bills have done that? Well, when it comes to Keon Coleman, there is no wondering. Because they passed on Xavier Worthy, they passed on Xavier Leggett, and they passed on every single, literally every single wide receiver on night two of the draft, and they took Keon Coleman. That tells you, if nothing else, whether you love Keon Coleman, whether you're indifferent about him, whether you can't stand him when you think it's a terrible pick, no matter what it is, you cannot deny that this is the guy that the Buffalo Bills clearly wanted. Clearly. As for the player, 6'4", 215 pounds, a true boundary type receiver. He's very young. He's only 20 years old. Doesn't even turn 21 until next month, May 17th. 4.61 speed, which is slow. And Brandon Bean said, his game speed is more like closer to 4.5. And folks, that's the reason why Cam Coleman was sitting there at the beginning of the round two, is because of his speed. Because if he was a 4.4 guy, he'd be a top 15 to 20 pick. He'd be Brian Thomas Jr. So, you know, productive to an extent last year, 50 catches, 658 yards. Not overly impressive, but 11 touchdowns. And plus, their quarterback was hurt. So we had to play through a lot of adversity last year with Florida State. I've heard him draw, I think it might have been Dane Brugler, draw some Anquan Boldin-like comparison vibes. In terms of what people around the league, like the big analysts, what they thought, where they had him ranked. Daniel Jeremiah had Keon Coleman 42nd overall, the ninth receiver on his board. Dane Brugler had him 37th overall and the seventh receiver on his board. PFF, 41st overall, eighth receiver on their board. I think Anthony Brohaska, I saw a quote from him. I want to read it. It was, he put this on Twitter about Keon Coleman. I thought this was pretty spot on. He says, Keon Coleman needs to develop more nuance and precision in his route running and stern work, but his size, frame, athleticism, which don't let his 40 time make you think he's not an athlete, his hand strength, his body control, ball winning are very intriguing. He has a play style and a frame not present on this Bills roster. Also, his 2023 stats were impacted by injury in quarterback play. In terms of strengths for Keon Coleman, great size, obviously. He catches balls in traffic. He plays above the rim. He's an athlete, including being a former basketball player. He will get up high to get a ball. He will make a couple highlight reels that will make your eyes pop out type plays. He's faster than he seems. Again, he plays faster than what his 40 time is. He is a very, very, very good run blocker. And he brings a skill set right now that is unique to this football team. They don't have this type of player, especially since Gabe Davis walked and signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. As far as the weaknesses, like I said, not a burner. And he's also not really great at separating, which, you know, if we're being fair here, that could be an issue. You know, Josh Allen moves around, likes to find those open guys. He doesn't throw a bunch of those like 50-50 balls up. So there's going to be some adjustments there. And for being a big guy with strong hands who plays above the rim, his, at least statistically, per PFF, contested catch rate's not very good. Only 33% of those balls. So that's not great. And, you know, you look in the past, Josh Allen would have, Gabe Davis had a couple huge games. He would have some big games here and there, but he went through long stretches where he did nothing. Early in Josh's career, he had a guy similar, at least in size, and Kelvin Benjamin did nothing. So there's worries about Keon Coleman. I guess, you know, my big takeaway is this, man, you can't hate on the Bills for taking a wide receiver. It feels like with this pick right here, that they're trying to replace the loss of Gabe Davis with this pick. He's a true outside guy. He's going to make some great plays. Again, personally, me, and this is just my personal opinion, I would have taken Lamb McConkey. By the way, Lamb McConkey went very next pick. The Chargers traded up second pick of round two, and they got him. I definitely hated the Patriots getting Jalen Polk at 37 as well. That was a guy that I really liked a lot. In fact, I might have liked him more than McConkey or the pick of the Buffalo Bills, Coleman. But, you know, for me, I think on my list, he was like my wide receiver 10 or maybe it was 11. And another thing that I hate is I got a couple buddies who are pretty big FSU fans who told me, and I tweeted this out, by the way. I'm not tweeting this after the fact. I put out a tweet weeks ago saying that these FSU fans told me that they hoped that the Bills didn't take him in the first round, which, to be fair, they didn't. They took him in the first pick in round two. But again, all that said, I don't hate the Coleman pick. You know, in fact, from the first couple hours or so when they made the pick, where I said the moment I heard Aaron Williams announce the name of Keon Coleman, where I didn't like it until now, as I'm speaking to you and have done more research and watched some highlights and read up on some people who I respect, I'm already getting warm to it. I'm already coming around to it. And maybe that's me being a homer. I don't know, but I'm already warming up to the pick. I get the play here by Brandon Bean. I really do. And I'm not even, again, it's not even really about trying to replace Stephon Diggs. This is more like that Gabe Davis outside type player. And if they're not lying, if they're not full of shit, you know, Josh Allen apparently told Brandon Bean at the end of night one that this was the guy that he wanted. So doesn't come without worries. You know, I'd be lying if I said I'm not worried about it at all. Feels like a high ceiling, high floor, low floor type player. I think it was Dad Brown from Rochester who commented, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, mentioned like he could be a top 10 receiver in this league in 3 years, or he could be playing for another football team in 3 years. Like he could be like that next, like Anquan Boldin, but he could just as easily be James Hardy or Kelvin Benjamin. I don't know. I guess you got to trust that Brandon Bean really likes the guy. And that's the one they took. Again, no what ifs to start with round two. And last thing, I was watching ESPN shortly before I started the stream, and Field Yates was on right after the draft. Kind of took me back a little bit. He was talking about the Bills and the pick of Coleman, and he says not only does he expect him to start, but he thinks that he can instantly be the Bills' number one receiver. And I thought that was pretty wild.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, going into round two. Again, the Bills stand pat. Cole Bishop, the safety out of Utah. Quickly, I'm going to move along because, again, I don't want to keep you guys too long. Anyway, 6'2", 207 pounds, fast, 4.45 40. He's got hops. He's got 39-inch vertical. He had 6.5 tackles last year for a loss. 3 sacks, 2 picks at Utah. Obviously, you hear Utah and you know that he played with Dalton Kincaid. That's his boy. This is the highest the Bills have drafted a safety during the entire Mick Beaton era since 2017 when they started. The highest the Bills have ever went at this position. In terms of the big boards, PFF, only had him as their 9th-ranked safety. I thought that was pretty weird. 132nd overall. So for whatever reason, PFF was not high on him. But Dane Brugler had him as their 4th safety, 70th overall. And Daniel Jeremiah, 61st overall player, 3rd safety, which falls right in line with where the Bills took him. In terms of strength, a really, really good athlete. He can move around really good. He can line up either safety spot, the slot. Versatility is like his middle name. Oh, it's not actually his middle name, but you get the point here. Good blitzer, man. He can play all 3 levels of the defense. He's really good in the box. A good leader, a captain at Utah, which, by the way, I'm starting to learn is a theme here because Dwayne Carter, 3rd-round pick, was the captain at Duke his entire career there. So lots of strengths. Weaknesses, get a little too aggressive at times, which can make him, you know, fall victim to play-action passes, mixed-direction runs, you know, things like that, an aggressive style of tackling that sometimes leads to poor tackling or missed tackles. He's never had more than 5 passes defended in any of his 3 seasons as a starter at Utah. I found it really interesting. I was looking at some thoughts from some of the Buffalo media right after the pick, and Sal Capaccio over at WGR had a pretty interesting thought. And when you hear it on the surface, you're like, well, that sucks, man. This guy's a goddamn 2nd-rounder. Are you freaking kidding me? But upon reflection, I'm like, well, it makes sense. And well, for clarification, this is what Sal said. He said, I see Cole Bishop as a Saron Neal replacement to start out. He's 2 inches taller, but the exact same weight. A big nickel type of player will probably be an excellent special teams player, but also a much more reliable defensive back than Saron Neal. I'm like, all right, I like that. Now, if you're watching that and you're thinking, well, they just drafted someone in the 2nd round to be Saron Neal, look, man, don't have a heart attack over what Sal was saying. He was talking about the start out. I don't think Sal's talking about his career, more about the start. I'd add that maybe I could see him like in short order, maybe getting some of those Jordan Poyer looks like in a dime defense like last year when Poyer would move up to a linebacker in the box and Taylor Rapp were both on the field at the same time. Long term, probably your starting free safety. And I caught a little bit of what Brandon Bean was saying after night 2 of the draft just moments ago. Kind of sounds to me like he'll compete right away. And it sounds like he'll probably compete with Mike Edwards. And maybe I was hearing this wrong, but the free safety spot, like with Mike Edwards. And he might not start from week 1. Mike Edwards is a crafty, reliable veteran. I don't think this draft pick of Bishop is really any slight towards Edwards. He just want to get better and deeper at that position. And you know Sean McDermott does his best work with defensive backs. He always has. So long term, I'd say he's probably your starting free safety. You hope that he's got someone that might hide in him, you know, and say free safety, but that can be interchangeable. See him playing some strong safety. Just advise some caution or patience. You know, like last year, Osiris Torrance, 2nd-round pick, you get to camp. It was pretty obvious early on he was going to be the starter, and then bam, he's your day 1 starter. I certainly do not expect that with Cole Bishop. I don't think he's like exactly a plug-and-play type player, but he'll have a special teams role. He'll have, I bet you, some package-specific roles to start, and then, you know, as his upside progresses, he's a guy that become just like not a starter, but an impactful one. And so we're clear, too, when I say starter. I think that's going to be sooner than later. Like, he'll challenge Mike Edwards early on. He might not win that battle out of camp, but he'll start. I'm going to be honest with you, I really like this pick. I would have liked it even more if they would have got him in the 3rd round, like it seemed a lot of these mocks had him. But again, you know how mock drafts go. Players always go a couple rounds earlier or later, and this was certainly one of them. I wanted, like a lot of you, you know, the wide receiver train, the big double dip to start out. I certainly, when it got to pick 60 and there were a lot more receivers there, I was in for it. But When I heard the name Cole Bishop come out, I'm like, all right, I like that pick. I get it. You want to get, like I said, younger. You want to get better at safety. Got no problem with that pick whatsoever. I think it's a pretty good pick. Then in the third round, one more time again, the Bills stayed at 95. So no trades at all today. You thought that might be possible. Having 1/4 and 4/5, moving up maybe into the third round, certainly felt like it was on the table. But the Bills for now have stood pat with all of their picks beyond round one, of course, when they traded out twice. But anyway, with a couple of receivers still on the board, they took Dwayne Carter from Duke, a defensive tackle with that 95th overall pick. Man, I wanted to be mad. I really did. I really wanted to be mad because I wanted that wide receiver. But I got to be honest with you, man. I'm not mad. I'm really not. Dwayne Carter, 6'3", 305 pounds. He had 2 sacks and 18 hurries last year at Duke. 8 sacks, 39 hurries back in 2022. He had a big year there. In terms of the big board rankings, again, PFF had him 136 overall. Daniel Jeremiah had him 79th overall. And Dane Brugler had him as his 12th best defensive tackle. So they kind of went and picked sort of in line with where Jeremiah and Brugler had him on their rankings. In terms of strengths, smart player, versatile. Dane Brugler wrote, overall, Carter doesn't have a true difference-making trait on the field, but he is a smart, strong, very active player. He might never be a full-time starter, but he will give a team value as a rotational three technique. Ideally, this is your cost-controlled, hopefully healthier, hopefully less prone to take an idiotic, stupid penalty version of Jordan Phillips. That's what you're hoping for, realistically. If you're, you don't know anything about Dwayne Carter and you're like, well, what kind of player could this be? I think a healthier, when he's playing well and not taking bad penalties version of Jordan Phillips. I think that would be a really realistic comp there. And again, I'm not going to lie, man. I wanted the Bills to do some double dipping at receiver. And then they didn't. But to take Carter in 2 of our 5 Bills mock drafts, which we did here on this show, I like the pick, man. I do. Put it this way, I like the pick enough that instead of being livid that the Bills didn't double dip, that I'm merely just disappointed. I'm a little surprised that the Bills, if they were going to go to, I'm not surprised the Bills went defensive line. Look, let's be honest, folks. There ain't no way in hell Sean McDermott is going to sit there for not one, but 2 nights and 3 rounds, and you don't touch his defensive line rotation, you lost your damn mind if you didn't think that they were going to address this at some point over these first 100 picks of the draft. I mean, come on. But anyway, I'm a little surprised the Bills addressed tackle over edge if they were going to do this defensively. The Bills have Austin Johnson. They got Dwayne Williams. I think they still got Eli Ankou on the roster, too, behind Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones. And if they want defensive tackle, I'm surprised it wasn't a one-tech guy. But that's kind of the way the board fell. You know, and again, I kind of like Carter. He's a decent player. Lord knows he's going to get some time in a Sean McDermott rotation. I heard Brandon Bean describe him as a plug-and-play type player in his comments right before we started recording the show. So, you know, I wonder what a Dwayne Carter ceiling looks like. But as for the like defensive end position at this point, look, I'm sure the Bills, they're scheduled anyway to have plenty more picks here on day 3. Sure, they're going to draft a guy or two that's an edge. But at this point in the draft, I don't think you could count on a day 3 edge to come in and really do anything, especially as a rookie. Just like I'm not completely sure you can even count on Carter too much here as a rookie. But anyway, I suspect that edge will be addressed primarily through maybe a free agent veteran addition like they did last year. They signed Leonard Floyd on June 6th. Maybe they'll sign another veteran after June 1st when they have some more money. I mean, you can only pray that you will have the same success that you had when you signed Leonard Floyd last year. Your boy got you 10.5 sacks. Not bad for a guy you signed on June 6th. I can't imagine Casey Tuhill right now being that fourth guy with literally, nothing behind him. So, as for like the day 3, when we get there, let's start with the wide receivers, because that's pretty much, I would say most people are still hoping they get a second receiver. None so more than me. So we go into Saturday right now. The draft resumes pick 101. Bills pick at 128. That means there's 27 picks before the Bills are scheduled to be on the clock. And again, they got literally 4 fifth rounders in their pocket. Sure as hell hope that Brandon Bean plans on moving up and getting that second receiver. And there's not a lot left, but there's some good ones. There's some guys that if you go and get them in round four, you go get one of these guys in round four, I'm going to feel pretty good about them. Not even just as fourth rounders. By the way, Gabe Davis, a former fourth rounder. Hell, Stephon Diggs, former fifth rounder. These are guys I think that you could get here in the fourth round. You can go get one of them to pair with Coleman and Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel. I think it's going to make your depth chart look better. And I think this would be a guy, even in the fourth round, that's going to have a chance to really come in and have a legitimate opportunity to compete for a role on this team this year as a rookie, even in the fourth round. Troy Franklin is a name. And quite frankly, I am shocked that he's still on the board. Which, by the way, you know, a little bit of a confession here, because I got some bad intel and I'm going to take the heat for it. I deserve it. I heard that the Bills were internally were high on Troy Franklin. And, you know, that's not to say entirely it's wrong, because maybe the Bills were never going to use picks in round two and three on wide receiver. They had Keon Coleman higher than Troy Franklin, certainly plausible. And then they used two other picks on defense. So it is plausible, at least, that they are internally high on Troy Franklin, but not high enough to trade back into the third round and go get him because he's still on the board. So that's my point. So anyway, Troy Franklin's there. Des Walker from North Carolina, he's a burner. He's out there. Javon Baker, love that dude. He's still out there. In fact, that probably would be the guy that I'd want most right now. Johnny Wilson, also from Florida State, played with Keon Coleman. He's out there. Jamari Trash from Louisville, he's there. Malik Washington's another guy, a straight slot guy, but a guy who's very dangerous with the football. He's out there. So I just ran off six guys. And again, you got 27 spots. You cannot count on any of these six being there. I think Brandon Bean, if he wants to get that second receiver, that's going to have a legitimate opportunity to contribute to this football team right away and not just be like a Justin Shorter or like a Isaiah Hodgins development and hope type of guy. I feel like you got to go get one of those guys in the fourth round. You're probably going to have to move up to do it. Running backs, you know, has not been touched, hasn't been addressed. There's a handful of them out there as we set you up here for day three. Jalen Wright from Tennessee, probably the best one out there. Audric Estime, my guy from Notre Dame, big, powerful runner. It kind of reminds me of Latavius Murray. I think that would be a good day three pick for the Bills, somebody to certainly consider. Bucky Irvin, Ray Davis, Braylon Allen from Wisconsin. He's another well-known name out there. If you're looking tackle, which wouldn't surprise me here on day three. I mean, you got Spencer Brown potentially going into the final year of his contract. Or no, he's still got 2 years left. I don't know. Anyway, never a bad idea to take an offensive tackle. Christian Jones is a guy. Walter Rouse is another guy that's out there. Edge, like I said, I don't think you can really count on a day three edge to come in and be a significant part of your rotation, but Austin Booker's out there. Xavier Thomas is out there. Muhammad Kamara's out there. Corners, TJ Tampa, which, by the way, who the hell was it? It was Mel Kiper. It was Mel Kiper. One of his early mock drafts, maybe his first mock draft, Mel Kiper had TJ Tampa going to the Buffalo Bills in the first round. Crazy ass shit. But anyway, TJ Tampa's out there. Kalen Carson's out there. Kyrie Jackson's out there. And shout out my man Cam Hart from Notre Dame. He's out there. As for the Buffalo Bills, picks left as we stand right now going into day three. Again, they got one in the fourth, which is 128. Four in the fifth, 141, 144, 160, 163. One in the sixth, which is 204. Then the last scheduled pick is 221 in the seventh. So to put a bow on this episode here, folks, I'm not mad about night two. I'm not thrilled about night two, mainly because the receiver that I personally wanted did not go. By the way, Donnie Mitchell, he didn't go to like pick 52. Like, he lasted 19 picks past the Bills starting round two. So the Bills weren't the only one who had question marks about this guy. He went all the way to 52, I want to say, the Indianapolis Colts. took him. But, you know, I'm already coming around to Keon Coleman. I'm already understanding. Instead of the knee-jerk reaction, like, say, I had last night when the Bills trade, when the Bills traded down from 32 and did not take Xavier Legette, I lost my shit. You might have saw a little hints of it if you watched yesterday's show, but I was pretty calm by the time I started recording. But I promise you, if there would have been hidden video in my house of my reaction when they traded down with Carolina, and then to hear the word Xavier Legette come out of Goodell's mouth, I like legit lost my shit. Anyway, tonight, didn't love when Keon Coleman came out at first. Little not on that level, Legette mad, but definitely mad, especially when McConkey went next. But more and more and more as the night progressed, and I watched some clips and I read some posts and I heard from some people who I respect. I get it. I do. Fit-wise, this is something that the Bills really don't have. So it's a sensible pick. And I saw numbers of really good receivers, like the measurables that Keon Coleman and T. Higgins had coming out of school, nearly identical. In fact, Coleman's is slightly better. We all know what a great receiver T. Higgins has turned into. Not to say that that's a guarantee that Keon Coleman's going to be a great receiver. I'm just saying, I think maybe I let his lack of speed and reading about him not being really good at creating separation, I think I let those factors weigh in too much. I mean, not wanting him on the football team, because this is a team that has had their most success with guys like Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley and John Brown and Khalil Shakir, where it's about speed and getting open quick off the line, these quick passes, working the intermediates, route running, sharp route running skills, which is not what Keon Coleman really offers you. He's more, like I said, along those Gabe Davis lines. But again, I'm warmed up to the pick. I'm down with Cole Bishop. Even if he's not going to be a day one starter, I'm still down with him. I really like the potential, see leadership in him. And we've been spoiled, folks, from 2017 until now. We have been very spoiled with Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer at safety. And we're going to feel that loss for a little bit. And maybe in the next couple of years, Cole Bishop will take that mantle and be able to play at the level that Hyde and Jordan Poyer did for us. And then Dwayne Carter's fine. He's fine. Again, I get it. I'm not a fan of taking a defensive lineman in round three when I feel like you should have taken a second receiver. But maybe the Bills solve that early here on day three and they go get that second receiver. But anyway, we'll find out. Not going to have a live show after Saturday. So the next show will be Monday. I'll have Joe from Queens on with me. We'll have a full recap of the draft. Talk about plenty of other shit as well. I'm sure Joe does not love the Bills taking a defensive tackle with one of the first three picks. But anyway, we'll talk about the entire Bills draft and plenty more. And that'll be on Sunday's show. And again, my expectations for people being able to even know about this, let alone listen to it overnight on Friday into Saturday morning, is not much. But wanted to stay consistent. I said I was going to be live after night one and night two of the draft. So here we are. So if you're watching this, pretty decent numbers there on the stream as well. If you're catching this on the audio side or the video side on Saturday morning, appreciate you very much. Have a good weekend. Hopefully the Bills finish off day three of this draft really well. We'll have some positive stuff to talk about on the next show. Talk to you guys then.